and weepeth and bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again rejoicing. And so God honors that. And I told these people, I said, you watch, God will bring visitors in. And I don't know who's counting this morning, but sitting up here, I just saw people kept coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. And I don't think Brian got a really good count because there's like half the church came in after he was gone. I don't know where Brian's at even this morning. Oh, there he is over there. I see you in the sunlight, brother, walking in the sunlight. But we probably ought to get a count again because it was a good crowd today. But what thrilled my soul when David and I were out visiting Thursday, was it? And it's one of those days that just like the spirit is willing, Cisco, but the flesh is weak. We didn't feel like going out, and we knocked, and we met a young, precious lady. And you know what? She walked through those doors. She's here today because somebody was willing to go. It does work, doesn't it? So some of you might not have had very good visits. Maybe nobody wanted a gospel tract, or nobody wanted to hear you tell them about Jesus. But see, God brought others in. And when we are faithful in going to tell people about Jesus, wherever we're at the grocery store, at the restaurant, make sure you leave a good tip, okay? Larry does. He leaves a good tip. But when we are faithful in going and spreading the gospel about Jesus, Jesus will tell others about our church. Amen. Amen. You see that. And I'm so thankful for this precious lady that came today. And hopefully we can be a help and a blessing. You can be finding the book of Romans chapter 3. But before you stand, I'll give you a few things here. Jeremy Coleman, there you are, my brother. Get somebody to help you with some of the missionary booklets. And we'll do this just for a couple more weeks. Romans chapter 3 is where we'll be. If you've not read through the mission booklet, okay. If you've not received one of these blue books right here, if you've not received one in your hand, raise your hand right now. We want to put one of these in your hand so you can find out what a missions conference. Just raise it up right now. We'll give you one, okay? Did you receive one of these? Okay, here's a brother down here. Anybody else? Okay, over here, Trevor and Alexis. This, I believe, in over three decades, is the best mission book that we've ever put out. I really believe that, and I thank Justin for doing that. Read it, familiarize yourself with the missionaries that'll be coming and what we do as a church, and know the missionaries' names, know their children's names. I still don't know all the children's name, but and if some of you men or women or families would like to buy a little gift, I mean, we make it the biggest part of our year. We give them great love offerings. Great love offerings. And we pay their airline tickets. We paid for one this week, Brother Combs and Holly, and we'll have this banquet, and it's all the proceeds, 100%, every penny will go towards these missionaries, and we'll divide it evenly among them. The banquet will be wonderful. I just found out we have a missionary from Cambodia will be sharing his stories, and he'll probably preach some too at our banquet. So that's something that's just fresh and new that we didn't know about, but God worked it out. He'll be here, I think. So, but bring cakes, two cakes. It's all in here, the schedule. Bring one to share and one to auction off. Every penny will come to the missionaries, divided evenly. There'll be ladies up here after the end of the service, and if you want to get a couple tickets so we'll know how much. We're going to get some good food. We're going to get some chicken and ham and turkey, smoke some turkeys. I may need your help, AJ, in smoking those turkeys, cooking those turkeys. But it'll be a nice banquet meal. Where can you go for $10, like Larry was saying? And then every penny goes to the missionary, okay? So you get blessed doubly in that. And so read these booklets over, and That'll be a blessing. I still want to, Kathy, I can't find that list. Here it is, right here. We have worked hard, the church has worked hard in preparing this missions apartment over here. It's been a lot done to it. If you haven't seen it, go over there. But it's almost ready, and for weeks we put in things that we needed, and you folks stepped up. I want to express my appreciation and thanks. It's just almost there, okay, as far as being ready for the missionaries to come in. And I thank you again for all the help. It just really went over well. But here's the last list I'll put out, okay? I don't think it'll be in the bulletin. This is what we need to finish it on out. Two small white Chester drawers. She doesn't care if it's two drawer, three drawer. We found some that are anywhere from $65 to $100. We need two little chest of drawers to go in two bedrooms, white. And we'll even pick them up at Walmart and put them together. We have a man that's good about putting things together like that. We need one quilt comforter set for full size. Over there we have like three bedrooms. We have a queen size bed, a full size bed, and three sets of bunk beds. Two sets of bunk beds, okay. Two white Chester drawers, one quilt comforter set, full size, two quilt comforter sets, twin bunk beds, four twin sheet sets, four twin sheet sets, and we need just a few pots, three pots, not big pots to cook fish and turkey, you know, fried turkeys in. This is little three normal pots if they're brand new or just like new, three little pots, and that is it. And I won't be announcing that anymore. So we'll say thank you, Lord, for finishing that missions apartment. We're going to have the Lord's Supper coming up first week in January. We'd ask you to be here to honor him and commemorate him, this do in remembrance of him. And so that's coming up January the 4th. All right. Are you in Romans chapter 3? Okay, I want to give you some Bible here this morning. Let me get it. And then we'll get right into the message today that God's laid on my heart for this time and this moment. We did have a great Sunday school hour, I think. God helped us. And I just want to tell you how much we love you and appreciate you. And thank God for each and every one here today. Romans chapter 3, let's stand together. This book is all, this chapter is all about salvation. The whole chapter is about salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? Just say amen if you know. So I'm not the only one then. We have some saints here called to be saints. And in Romans chapter 3, let's just start in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And go down to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. What does that word? That's a long word, Pastor. It means to be saved, to be justified, atoned, the atonement through faith in his what? Blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the good service already, Lord, the people of God, the saints of God. And Lord, now if there's one that doesn't know you, or several, Lord, may they be saved. May they be born again from above, Lord. May they trust in the gospel, Jesus Christ, and Lord, the shed blood that you shed on Calvary's cross May they lift up their eyes to the hills from whence cometh their help. Their help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, there's people here that are hurting. There's people here that are rejoicing. People here that are sick. People here, Lord, that may be dying or may know of a loved one dying. Oh God, comfort their hearts is my prayer. Help them to see that there's hope beyond the grave. Because you live, Lord, we can live also. And I just pray that you would use the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's a wonderful privilege to proclaim the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for your prayers this week. When I look into the book of Romans, it is somewhat hard to understand, especially if you're not saved, even if you are saved. But I want to say that it's written to both saved and lost people, the book of Romans, written to those in Rome. You remember in Romans chapter 1, there was a lot of idol worship, immorality, a lot of pagan worship, heathenism going on, homosexuality. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about they were believing in false creators and false gods. That's all in Romans chapter 1. So how do you know that it's written to Jews and Gentiles, to lost and to saved? Over in Romans chapter 1 verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? Everybody in this room is called to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's not willing that any should perish and go to hell, but that all should repent. So you are the called to be saved, but you're also called to be saints. So it's written to saved and lost. In verse 7, it says of chapter 1, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a Jew, but he was concerned about Gentiles getting saved. And it's not just for the Jew, but for also the Greek. In chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he was concerned about the Jews, who before they placed their faith in the Messiah, and as you go through the Bible, the New Testament, there's a transition because Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. And there's no longer that we have to go and take a lamb or a pigeon or a bullock or a goat and sacrifice that animal for the atonement of our sins. That's in the past. Jesus Christ did it once and for all. And he's up against these Jewish folk who have done that in the past, or some type of ordinance like circumcision or some kind of law. It's not that the law is bad. The law, the Bible says, is a schoolmaster to bring us to God. We're under the age of grace, praise God. Aren't you glad for his amazing grace? But if I tried to go get a lamb and sacrifice it in my backyard, I would be called to jail. You'd put me in jail for animal abuse, you know. That is not necessary today. The priest doesn't have to go in once a year and be without spot. I mean, they said, you got to be totally clean. We'll tie a rope onto your ankle. They're in the law, the Old Testament, because if they went in there and they still had sin in their life, God would strike them dead. That way they could pull them out of the holies of holies. I'm so thankful that when Jesus shed his blood, it's no longer our righteousness, but his righteousness. And you can be declared righteous only when you trust and believe in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see here in Romans 10 that he had a great burden for these Jewish people who are still confused. And he says in chapter 10, verse 1, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And then if you look in Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever," doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, Greek, or a Jew, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You may be looking for the Messiah, and by the way, he's already come. Amen. His name is Jesus. He's coming back again one day to get his children. But we have the blood atonement. We have the finished work of Calvary. When Jesus laid down his precious life, he had no sin. Now everybody in this room is a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And really, chapter 3 of Romans is an indictment on the whole world, mankind. Think of all the things you've said. And God will call us into judgment on every idle word we say. Think of that. We're in trouble, aren't we? Every idle word. Sometimes our words are like the poison of asps, he said. But I know it's written to Gentiles as well, because if you look in chapter 11 right across in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Okay, go back to chapter 3 of Romans. God's word is pure and holy and is profitable. And he wants us to hear something here. Somebody here needs to hear this. I think we all need to hear it, don't you? And not just be hearers of the word, but doers. So in Romans chapter 3, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." So they had the scriptures. The oracles of God is the Bible back in the Old Testament especially. And they're trying to keep all these things and sacrifices and all of that. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar." He's saying, look, Jesus did die on the cross and he's true. Now, at one time you had to bring these sacrifices, but now he's finished that. And you can call me a liar, you can call me a slanderer, whatever you want. The Apostle Paul says, whatever you want to call me. But I'm telling you the truth. He says in verse 3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" By the way, if you read Romans, you need to read Hebrews 2, because he says you'll not enter in except you believe in Jesus Christ. What's going to keep you out of heaven if you will not believe in the only begotten Son of God, that he shed his blood for your sin to declare you righteous and to allow you to be justified and pardoned and redeemed and have the remissions of sin? You'll never get to heaven. You'll never be forgiven unless you trust in the blood atonement of Jesus. I want it to be clear, folks. God forbid. Yea, let God, verse 4, "be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Now, what does it mean to be justified? If you break it down in that word, just as if I'd never sinned. You can, just if I'd. I mean, just you can be clean through the blood atonement, through the blood of Jesus. You can be declared innocent, yes. Just like you go to the court. A court's a lot like this. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And the court has that, the judge has the ability, or help me, Lord, here, the power to pardon you, to give you a full pardon. They have that ability, just like you'd never done anything. I mean, total forgiveness. They can do that. Well, can I tell you this? Our prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and King of kings, can pardon you from your sin, and you can be declared innocent, and you can go to heaven if you're justified. Just hold your place there and flip over to chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to sacrifice anymore, be circumcised to be clean. No, you can believe. Trust in Jesus and his shed blood, and he'll forgive you. Back over in chapter 3. But if our unrighteousness commend, verse 5, commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge this the world? You see, God can't just let you go to heaven as you are. Or as I am. Because we're sinners. We're filthy, rotten, low-down sinners. We're like donkeys. We're stubborn, all right? Stiff-necked. I'm talking about all of us here, right? You can't get into heaven like that. Heaven's perfect and pure. So one came named Jesus, who was nailed to that rugged cross. And he took our place. He was our substitute. He was our propitiation. He was our atonement. How can we get to God? There's only one way. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No other way. You have access through Jesus. You can try to take communion to get your sins absolved, and that won't do a thing. No, it's an ordinance. It doesn't save you. It's an ordinance. Baptism will not save you. I don't care how many times you get baptized. Now, it's an ordinance and something that you should do after salvation. It shows that you are saved, but it will never save you. That's what Jesus is for. And there's a lot of people, I'm going to say something pretty blunt right now. There's a lot of people that are trusting in the elements, erroneous teachings of man, but they're not believing in Jesus Christ, and what they're doing is spitting upon Jesus. They're spitting upon the cross of Jesus in his blood, saying, I'm trying to do. It's already been done, folks. You can't do anything to get yourself to heaven except receive the free gift of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why did he die? If you're trusting in working or putting money in the offering or whatever, that won't get you there. That's good, but it won't save you. It won't take away your sins. God forbid. Don't even think about it. It's unthinkable. Verse 6. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie, he's saying, you're calling me a liar. Unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported. And as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. I'm a Jew, but Paul's saying to this crowd, he said, I'm just like you. I'm guilty. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. There are so many bitter people in this world. And the answer for bitterness is Jesus. Okay, forgiveness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Why is all this stuff happening? Man, I don't like to even watch the news anymore. I tell you what, there's just too much killing and all that and things happening. But you know why? Because people are sinners. And they don't have Jesus. In verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. Watch this, verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Can I tell you right now, the only way to have peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He is the Prince of Peace. You won't find peace in a bottle or a pill or relationship. You'll only find peace in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, let's finish. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's the Ten Commandments, they show us our sin. But you can try to keep them, friends. You're going to fail. Am I right? Is God right? I mean, you just cannot keep them. You're guilty. And if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. You're under sin. And you need a Savior. Oh, don't leave here without trusting the Savior. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which, this is how a person gets saved right here, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, every person in here and in the world. Doesn't matter your color, your knowledge, background, or no matter what you've done. It's all. It's for all. Christ unto all and upon all them that what? That what? For there is no difference. And he was trying to bring in these Gentiles and Greeks. He was trying to bring in the Jews that were caught up in keeping the law, and he wanted to preach the gospel. Listen, of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul was showing them the who of the gospel. Not so much the what, but he was showing the who. And who is the who? Jesus. Amen. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 4 that Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried and rose again the third day. And that's the only way you'll get saved. Let's finish. Even verse 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, that includes you and me, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've missed the mark. You've missed the target. Being justified freely by his grace. Isn't that beautiful? Those are beautiful verses. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. In his what? To declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. Boy, when people have cancer and they say you're in remission, what a glorious word to hear, right? Can I get an amen right there? Amen. When your sins are forgiven, it's a glorious word. And when you get up to meet the Lord in heaven, he'll say, come on in, you've been saved by the blood. Not by your good works. Well, I did all of this. I did all of that to try to, I was a pretty good person. I was a moral. I was good to my neighbor. I loved my neighbor. That's well and good, but that won't get you through to heaven. You have to believe. Oh my goodness. The remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, not our righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Believe in what He did, folks. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. You know, the Jews and Gentiles didn't get along too good. They didn't like each other. It's like if they people called them dogs or whatever. It's like they were offended. Like, you're slapped. Slap me. If you're a Gentile, you know, you're slapping in my face or whatever. But friends, they need to be saved too. Is he the God of the Jews only? He is not also of the, is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Oh no. Don't throw the law out. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now go to Hebrews quickly, and I'll try to wrap it up. Olivia, I see Olivia over here. She's got her pilot license now. And, you know, a lot of preachers are like people learning to fly and stuff. Larry, you know this. You're a traffic controller out at Sky Harbor. A lot of preachers, they just keep the plane circling in the air. You just need to land the plane, okay? Land the plane. And some can go on and all. So I'm going to try to land. My landing gear is down right here. But in Hebrew 10, well, let's look at 9. Okay. It goes along with it. Oh, let me help me, Lord. Look at verse 12 of chapter 9. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, by his own, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Can I just tell you now, for all those that are hurting, for all of you that have infirmities and sicknesses and things, can I tell you what? He loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he it's not like in chapter 4, it's not like he's not touched. I'm talking about Jesus with your problems and your heartaches and your sicknesses and your infirmities. He's not that high priest. Oh, listen to me now. Don't shut me down now. He knows your infirmities. And he's there. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can help you. There is hope in him. Don't give up on Jesus. Verse 27 of chapter 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 10 of chapter 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times?
Once.
He died on the cross once. He'll remember them no more. Verse 17 of chapter 10, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Once you're saved, they're under the blood. Okay. You can be declared righteousness. I closed my Bible, but I've got 3 pages of notes here. But then I'll be a liar because I'm trying to land the plane. You know what? Isaiah 64, 6, we won't turn there, but it says all of our righteousnesses The best that we have to offer, folks, the Lord said, are as filthy rags. We need Jesus, don't we? The Jew or the Gentile, no matter who you are, where you've been, no matter how good you are or think you are, you need to trust in the gospel, the blood atonement. Salvation is through Jesus and Him alone. There's none other salvation in any other but Jesus. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We are not better than Jesus. He died once and for all. No more sacrifices. We cannot save ourselves. It's not what we do, but what Jesus did. We're all sinners. You need to be forgiven. And if you'll trust Him and believe in Him, you can be. Trusting in God, that's the way. Let's stand together.